Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's early cousin, Cousin Shade. What's up, buddy?
Hey, water doesn't sound as cool, does it? What's going on, brother?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's holidays just around the corner. We got to get healthy before we gain all this weight.
That's what I'm thinking, you know. You don't want to come in like at max at Christmas, but prior to Christmas, you know. So trying to get some reps in. Went golfing today, did 9 holes, you know, so that was awesome. I think I was the only one out there. That's even better.
Oh, wow. So you got in and out pretty quick, I'd say?
Yeah, quick one. And, you know, and nobody's around, so the foot wedge was active, my friend. What that means is I kicked the ball a lot to get it.
Oh, I got you. No, that makes perfect sense. I just assume you do that every time.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a little... I probably did a little more today than usual, if that makes sense, so...
Well, hey, buddy, we got another great edition of the mailbag to jump into. So we ask on YouTube and Twitters, we got some great questions here. And if anybody wants to throw us a donation, totally optional. You don't have to do it. But if you throw us a donation, we're happy to do those questions as well. You ready, buddy, to jump into the mailbag?
Brother, I was born ready.
All right, shout out. Migrating Coconuts, who's an official member. Official members always get their question answered, Shane. Which SEC school who fired the coach will kick themselves the most after they make the next hire? Does that make sense? So maybe we're sitting back and be like, well, you know, Brian Kelly, maybe he wasn't that bad. Maybe old Billy Napier, Sam Pittman, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't that bad. I'm not saying that will be the case, but that's the question. I thought it was an interesting one. The grass ain't always greener.
Yeah, yeah. I got you. And it has to be in our conference, right? So I would probably say, if I had to pick, sounds crazy, but I'm going to say Brian Kelly, LSU.
Wow.
And the only reason I'm saying that, Mike, right? Sam, the bar's low. Billy Napier, the bar's low. We got a coach that was consecutively winning 10 games, and I feel like immediate. I mean, obviously, you get the right hire. LSU's the perfect place. You can definitely have success there, but I don't know. A lot of people saw this kind of circus show, if you will, and I think that may keep some of these coaches we got on a short list from going down there.
How big would it surprise you, Shane, if I said Hugh Freeze?
It surprised me.
Because I ain't saying that. Get that loser out of here. That's the number one winner in my book. But how about this? Wild card.
Yeah.
What about Sam Pittman? Because again, what did the AD say? We didn't support him.
Yeah. You know,
we didn't give him what he needed. And last time I checked, Shane, again, was it I get it. After the Notre Dame game, we both came on here and said, yeah, he's got to go. Mm-hmm. But you know what I've seen after that, Shane? I've seen close loss to Tennessee, close loss to A&M, close loss to Mississippi State. I mean, what in the hell's changed? Not much has changed. Now, again, they go out here, and the latest rumor is James Franklin.
Yeah.
They go out here and get James Franklin. Again, I don't even know that's going to be a home run hire. The name is a home run hire. It gives you a pop for the offseason. You know, I've said many times before, Shane, I think the smart way to do it is not give these $100 million contracts. Yeah. I'm not saying that's what James Franklin's getting, but he ain't coming cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that. But, you know, get you an elite coach, surround him with elite coordinators, and get a war chest of NIL. I think that's even if you don't, like a Ryan Silverfield, who I doubt many people in here's watched that guy, because I sure as hell haven't. And I'm not saying that's a better hire, but if you gave him all the things I just said.
Yeah.
Or you just give me James Franklin. Give me option A. You know what I mean? So I'm going to roll with Sam Pittman. Mm. And I could be wrong, but I don't think the failings of Arkansas was Sam Pittman's failings. I think it was the failings of the support around him.
Ryan Silverfield. That sounds like a made-up name on like some Netflix show I'm watching or something, you know?
Yeah. I just literally only picked that because he's the betting odds right now. I'm not saying like he's the best man for the job. You know?
Another thing too is you know, obviously Arkansas was one of the first, if not the first, to get their kind of name in the race. But unfortunately, there's been a lot of names entered. So they may be stuck holding the bag. And that's the last thing. I said this about Florida with Billy Napier. Last thing you want to is have a desperate hire, because you got to hire somebody, right? And I feel like if some of these names start getting picked and we start getting further and further down that list, we may find ourselves in a kind of a Mississippi State situation, you know? So I don't want that for Arkansas. And and I'm not talking about Lebby. I'm just, you know what I'm saying. So
any thoughts, Shane? I don't know if you've seen this, but Billy Napier, he's been spotted down in Athens helping Kirby prepare for Texas.
Too soon, man. Too damn soon. I get it. You're upset, right? You got fired and whatever, but they gave you everything down there.
Yeah, but he doesn't owe Florida anything. They fired him.
I know, but this is a small community, man, and you may need somebody to, you know, vouch for you on a resume or something. And
I think he does. I think he's got Kirby vouching for him. I think that's more valuable than anybody down there in Gainesville.
Well, Kirby ain't going. I mean, Kirby will give him a wide receiver job, right?
Yeah.
You know, but that's about it. That's the extent of it, you know. So this is classic Kirby, just getting everything he can get out of him, and then when he's done, kick him to the curb, just like Gainesville did. So I no, this is a stupid decision. I don't know what goes through your ears to make you do this. There's a there's a time to see Kirby Smart. It's not at practice two, three weeks after getting fired. Especially Georgia, of all places. Billy will never get hired again in the SEC.
Well, I don't think we had to worry about that to begin with.
Yeah, good point.
All right, great question, migrating coconuts. How about this one from another official cousin, Shane, cousin Brandon Riley. Shout out all the official cousins. They always get their question answered. Ole Miss alum here.
Yeah.
But if Lane Kiffin goes somewhere else to coach, then who would be the perfect fit for Ole Miss? And this is tricky, right? Because now he says perfect fit. He's not asking the hire necessarily, so you can kind of answer this in many different ways. But this is why it's kind of interesting, Shane, where we kind of need a decision.
Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin's had multiple opportunities to kind of shut this down, and he's not done it. Now, that doesn't mean he's leaving.
Yeah.
But if we, you know, if John Sumrall's option A, but he gets hired at Auburn, he ain't going to pack his bags. You know, if there's just timing's critical here, but that's not the question. The question is, who would be the perfect fit for Ole Miss to replace Lane Kiffin if they have to?
That's a tough one, man. I mean, there's a reason that everybody wants Lane, because he's irreplaceable right now at this moment. So I wonder if maybe that hire's not already on staff. You know, I mean, they love to show these coordinators. If you keep them both, you know, that would be I think a hell of a hire. But I don't know, man.
It's hard for me to believe they wouldn't go with Kiffin.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
If you're talking about Pete Golding and Charlie Weiss, I think they'd go with
him. But if you gave Pete the head coach job, you know what I'm saying? Then he stays. I'm not saying Charlie sticks around, but if you could keep one of them, it wouldn't be the worst thing. Maybe keep some of your roster intact, you know, kind of people love Pete. So I don't know. That'd be my 1B, I guess. If you could go out there and replace him, I still would like a splash hire. Maybe, I don't know, man. No, you pick. Who you got? I got one here. And it's probably a terrible hire just because he's, you know, didn't do shit over at Oklahoma State. But could you imagine Mike Gundy up there? You just talk about, a polarizing name. Maybe somebody didn't have the resources that he could get over here in the SEC. You know, at one point was on everybody's short list for coaches. So likes to party a little, you know. I think Mike Gundy would be an interesting look.
All right, I just thought of one.
Yeah.
And you ain't going to like it.
Yeah.
Again, is this going to happen? I don't think so. But that's not the question. The question is perfect. Similar. Now, again, you know, Lane's a little bit of a unicorn.
Yeah.
But I'm talking on the field. I'm talking production, winning. You know, he's made the playoff, unlike Kiffin. Give me Josh Heupel. Can you do better than that?
Josh Heupel ain't leaving Tennessee to go to Ole Miss.
That's not the question. The question is the perfect replacement for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss.
Well, I mean, in that case, let's go to the NFL and pick some of those guys if we're doing that. I'm talking about realistic.
All right, let's spin it this way. Shout out. We just did an interview, Jesse Simonton.
Yeah.
Tennessee loses at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee loses Vanderbilt. I mean, how hot? He says if that happens, Heupel's on one of the hottest seats in the SEC next year. You sticking around, or are you going to say, I'm going to go reset my clock at Ole Miss? I don't think it's that far-fetched, and I think it's the perfect replacement.
Josh Heupel would only leave for Oklahoma, I think. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, obviously, if you get a Texas job or maybe an Alabama, Georgia job, you know, one of these just damn near impossible to get an interview for. Possible. That's why the LSU scared me a little bit. That would be one that I think would move the needle, but his ass ain't going to damn Oxford. So I feel like if you were going to steal Josh Heupel, then might as well get Alex Golish. That's more realistic, in my opinion. Talk about somebody that will win you over at the podium. You probably haven't heard him. Nobody on here's probably listened to him, but you talk about a smart ass. I mean, just he'd be perfect for the Southeastern Conference. He's gonna give everybody a hard time. He's almost like a drink, you know. He'll tell you how he feels, and we've seen aggressive handshakes and everything. So, explosive offense, doesn't miss a beat. That's more realistic, in my opinion.
Not perfect though.
Perfect, absolutely perfect. Alex Golish to Ole Miss would be perfect.
Now, give me Heupel. Hey, Joey Freeman says Cousin Shane to Ole Miss.
I'd go coach. Absolutely.
Save Heupel.
Just stay in the Grove the whole time, you know. hell yeah.
Hey,
sorry.
Shout out James Kelly. What would have to happen for South Carolina to beat A&M? You know, it's interesting. We appreciate the donation, James. Steven and I, we did his predictions earlier.
Yeah.
We were struggling. We were struggling to find a way for this to be competitive because, you know, if you're Carolina, what you could always go back to is, well, Beamer ball. A&M, I think, is better than Carolina on special teams. We're seeing fake punts. We're seeing punt returns for touchdowns. I mean, obvious sellers getting hot. I think we would need multiple turnovers. I think we would need some cockiness, which I don't know. A&M's they're not cocky, but they're, you know, there's that line where it's like confidence and cocky, like Joe Burrow lived on it.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like A&M's living right now. So I don't know if you're going to get them overconfident. I don't know. What is the path here? South Carolina's got to run the football. A&M, even they won in dominating fashion last week, still gave up a ton of rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of that was late, you know. Again, you can't say one thing without upsetting people, Shane. But they gave up over 200 rushing yards. We need a performance like that from South Carolina. That would be critical. We've seen South Carolina's defense make a lot of big plays. They would have to do that for four quarters, which is – I don't know if they could do it against this offense. How does that a competitive ball game, you think?
You got to get outside the box, man. Because, you know, what's not working is not going to continue to work, you know? So I feel like this one here, I mean, shit, Lenore Sellers is got to be the X factor, right? I mean, when I think about this game last year, that was kind of that's when the Heisman talk really started, was after that. A&M game, I felt like. And you know, he's got to completely take over. But he's got to have some help. He can't do it himself. And I think that's the problem with South Carolina a lot is we're expecting him to do it all. We're expecting him to run. We're expecting him to throw. We're expecting him to win these football games. You know, there's splashes of this defense being elite. I feel like if you were ultimately trying to find the recipe to pull off an upset, yes, the classic overlook is possible. But more importantly, South Carolina has got to create some negative plays and some turnovers. And if they don't give South Carolina short field, there's just absolutely no way they're going to win this game. So that's for me, it's more about defense creating some which A&M has made, you know, as much as I love Reed and he's at the top of a lot of these Heisman race conversations, he still has those moments where he can absolutely butcher the defense or lose it. So I feel like that would be the one for me.
Right. He's 15th in the SEC completion percentage. His deep ball is very questionable. So we need him to miss all the deep balls. We would need Nick Harbor to catch fire, catch a couple over the top. Dylan Stewart turn into beast mode again. Man, he's really missing Kyle Kennard this year, isn't he, when they had two pass rushing demons. But, you know, it's obvious you'd rather have two than one. But we need him to go beast mode again. I mean, these are the things we would need for Carolina to pull this massive, massive upset.
Yeah, maybe one of them fire alarms at 3 a.m. and possibly prank calling the quarterback all night, you know, something like that too. Maybe snow on the field.
James says, "Hell, sounds like we need to get the Drake support." And then appreciate you, Tolkien. He says, "Kiffin ain't leaving." Next question. Say it, Mike. Say it.
He ain't leaving. I haven't heard him
say it. Have you?
No. If he's just shopping around for more money, man. Better what's that game he always plays? Not wiffle ball, but what's that thing he's always playing with? He always played it with Dart and them.
Oh, paddle.
Not paddle. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. He wants a better facility, you know. Just little things like that. Maybe a private jet he can use more often. Pickleball. Thank you.
All right. Tim. Shout out, cousin Mike Andrews. Shady is an official cousin. How many current starting quarterbacks do you expect back next year? He says, I think Lenore Sellers, DJ Lagway, Austin Simmons will transfer with Arch Manning, John Mateer, Gunnar Stockton, and Michael Van Buren staying. It's funny, he asked a question, then he answered it. But
next question.
He wants our thoughts on it. So who do you think is not coming back that could?
Wait, that's Cutter's going to be back. I mean, let's see. Let me ask you this, because he's just assuming that DJ and Lenoris and all those guys are going to be back in the conference. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. Do you? I would be worried about those guys going elsewhere, because clearly it's not working.
Right. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Sellers, Lagway, and Allison Simmons, he says will transfer. Let's go one by one. Sellers, is he back at Carolina next season?
No, he's not.
DJ Lagway, is he back at Florida?
Possibly.
Austin Simmons, Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think so.
I've heard no.
Then no. But that may be because Lane's not there, you know?
Yeah, well, that's a complicated one. But I would just, the smart money is I would not anticipate Austin Simmons is back. DJ Lagway, I don't think we'll know till we know who the coach is.
Yeah.
And Sellers, again, I don't know. He might come back. Let's see who they get at offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But he's given no indication that he's not coming back. But I certainly understand believing he won't be.
Yeah.
Now these are the guys he says he thinks will return. Arch Manning, certainly. John Mateer, unless he's going back to Washington State, I think he's back.
Yeah.
Gunnar Stockton, I think he'll definitely be back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael Van Buren, I think it's way too early to say. We got to know who the coach is.
Yeah, I mean, he may not be the starting quarterback. I mean, go with me here. And I hate keep throwing the same guy, but let's just say James Franklin. James Franklin comes down to LSU, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts together a nice NIL package for, I don't know, enter another quarterback. I don't think Van Buren is just a shoe-in for the job, even though he's transferred down there. So, I wouldn't have him on the list.
Now, here's an interesting one that Cousin Mike didn't have on the list here.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're Missouri with Bo Prabula and Matt Zollers? Now, it's probably too early to tell, but let's say Zollers plays much better down the because, again, that was probably A&M's elite. They got after his ass. Caden Green said they know the plays. Mm-hmm. Let's assume the rest of the schedule, Mississippi State, well, hell, Oklahoma could be just as bad. Arkansas, though, let's say Mississippi State and Arkansas, he looks like a future star quarterback.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're Missouri?
I'd like to get one more year out of someone else. I'd like Zollers to sit for one more season, ideally. That's just my – I think Bo
– Is that realistic in this day and age? Are quarterbacks willing to sit from
– No, I mean, it's not. It just depends on, you know, the situation. But I don't know, man. I just don't know if Zollers is going to be ready in one offseason, but he may be, right? I felt like he's asked to do a lot last week, and this is a guy that maybe I'm just judging a little too harshly just off the last two games I've seen him in, but it just feels like another season wouldn't be a bad situation.
Yeah. What about I think it was Tim in the comments says he thinks Trinidad's coming back, but I have not heard from anyone, and I've asked many, many people. He doesn't have an eligibility. So no one just, except fans that I've not heard of anyone that covers the team, works for the team. They all say he doesn't have eligibility. So assuming he doesn't have any eligibility, I think he can't come back. What would you do with Joey Aguilar? I'm pretty sure he doesn't have any eligibility either, but if he did have any, mm-hmm. would you want him back?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I do. And let me, before we go to over there, if Trinidad did leave, right? If you know, let's say he has no eligibility, or mm-hmm. who's to say he even sticks around, right? Gets an opportunity to go to the NFL. Do you still think Austin Simmons would leave? Let's say Lane Kiffin stays in Ole Miss. Would you still think, you know, that's a pretty,
yeah, pretty much a shoot? I've heard it's messy.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, I think, it goes without saying he thought this was his team, his year. He's getting all this money,
yeah,
and he's on the bench all season. You know,
yeah. I'd keep Aguilar going back to Tennessee. I'd keep him, but I'd make him earn the job. I'm not just going to give it to him because he started this season.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if he can come back. I really don't.
I don't know. He's 35, something like that. I don't know.
Joey's.
We went to school together, you know?
Tony says, Joey, call Pavia's attorney there.
Yeah. That may be the case, brother.
What about, I'm pretty sure Taylen Green's out of eligibility. I'd love to have him back, but.
Yeah.
I think his future's, some people are down on him in the NFL. I think he's going to be a hell of a player.
I think he will be too, but I do not expect him to stick around. I don't even know if he can, Mike. So right. I'm kind of with you there. But if he could gain that extra year, boy, you talk about a hot commodity in the transfer portal.
Any chance? I think it's unlikely. No, he has to come back. But he doesn't have to. Again, this is the crazy thing, Shane. What if old Marcel Reed, and I'm not saying he's going to do this. I don't think there's any shot he does this, right?
Yeah.
But we can't rule anything out.
Right.
You know, regardless of what you think A&M's going to do, whether they win the national championship or lose in the first round, you know, what if Kiffin, wherever he goes, let's say Florida.
Yeah.
Or just stays at Ole Miss. It literally doesn't matter. Let's say Kiffin comes in here and says, I've watched all these guys, right? Austin Simmons gone, Trinidad's out. I want Marcel Reed. You know, is there a point where A&M's like, well, hell, we ain't paying you $5 million, but, you know, but maybe Kiffin will. You know, could you see something like that?
Maybe not Marcel Reed, but I do think, I mean, we kind of saw this with Carson Beck. So, you know, he could have went pro. Georgia didn't want to pay him. So he went where the money's at. And I don't know if that ultimately helped him, but I would imagine he's going to go higher than if he would have went to the draft, you know, last year, obviously being injured. So, yeah, I just don't think, like, you're throwing out Marcel Reed. That's like throwing out Arch Manning. Those two guys.
Why I'm throwing him out, because it'd be so funny, you know, if it's like they finally, let's say they win the Natty.
Yeah.
And now his price is like, well, shit, I carried us to the national championship. I know they got all the money in the world, but maybe they get to a point where they're like, well, hell, we got to pay this, that, and the other too.
I just don't think he fits that mold. You know what I'm saying? I do think there's some quarterbacks out there that would leave for the bag, if you will, right. But I don't think Marcel's that guy.
Name him. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Any other quarterbacks coming back or leaving that you're thinking of? Or is that?
Nah,
I think we've kind of ran through with the whole list.
I think that Cutter Bowley's interesting. You know,
he's Kentucky. You cut him open, Shane, it's going to be blue.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's just very, I mean, he's a good looking quarterback. And if I notice it, Lord knows some of these other SEC coaches have.
Okay. Okay. How about Sean Wilson, official cousin? Appreciate you, Sean. If John Sumrall goes to Auburn,
yeah.
Do you think he would retain defensive coordinator DJ Durkin? Additionally, would you see Durkin wanting to stay?
Mm-mm. No, DJ made a really nice resume this season, and I feel like he'll be a coveted defensive coordinator somewhere else, potentially even a head coach, but I don't think that would be the role he would move for. But I do think his time in Auburn, I mean, if you didn't get offered the job after you're their interim coach, I would imagine you're a little hurt, right? You know, so I feel like he would move on more likely than not.
Yeah. And I mean, it's always fun to sit here and be like, you know, insert the next Arkansas coach.
Yeah.
Is he going to keep Bobby Petrino, you know, or Auburn? Can we keep DJ? I get the wanting to do that.
Yeah.
But it can make it awkward, like you said, but also Shane, whether it's John Sumrall, whether it's Lane Kiffin, whether it's Butch Jones, whoever they hire down there at Auburn, if you are hiring a guy, and this wasn't the question, but sometimes they, you know, I've heard where they're like, you know, you should, we'll hire you, but you have to keep DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I don't think they would do that at Auburn, because I think they're serious, but some places would do that. Where you got to keep his assistant. You got to keep that one.
I've seen it.
I think that's a really bad mistake. Because you're, again, now you could say, you know, would you consider it? That's different than you got to do this, you got to do that. I think you're setting yourself up for disaster, and you're kind of making it to where you're not giving the head, the new guy, like free rein to it's got to be his vision, his program.
Yeah.
Now, I think a lot of coaches are, remember, who was it that, you know, Sam Pittman was offensive line coach at Tennessee. Who was it? I guess it was Butch. Came in there and didn't give him an opportunity.
Yeah.
Again, so it goes both ways. You could be stupid and be like, we don't need Sam Pittman, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, give him a chance, but you don't require it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's like you firing me and say, call me next week, say, can you do Tuesdays? And I'm like, what? Hell no.
That's just my thought. But, you know, I don't think if Durkin's not the head coach, I don't think he'll be back.
No, no.
And I'll tell you what, Shane.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, remember your scenario where you said Pete Golding, maybe he's head coach Ole Miss?
Yeah.
If that's the case, and I'm not saying it is. If it was, I think old Lane, he'd call up old DJ and say, hey, you know, that was his defense coordinator at Ole Miss before he went to Auburn. I think he was at A&M first, but before A&M, he was at Ole Miss. So they've worked together. You know what I mean? Just connecting the dots here.
Small little network. That's why I'm surprised Billy Napier is up the street helping old Curb out.
I'm building Florida staff before they've even hired the coach, you know? All right, shout out Michael Riley, official cousin. Do you think we will see other teams go independent like Notre Dame? Because you get to play two hard games a year, go 10-2, and get guaranteed a playoff spot.
You remember, what was it? It was a few weeks back. Notre Dame said that they would join the Big Ten or the SEC if they did something. I can't remember what it was, but
I think that was just bait that you fell into.
Yeah, probably. But I don't think that any teams are going to go independent. I feel like they're going to, you know, stick around because Notre Dame has found a way to make money without them. But
there's too much. Most of these schools, Shane, where they get most of their money is the television contracts.
Yeah,
and so like you know, there's been Arkansas fans that have been like, "Well, hell, why don't we just get out of here and go to the Big 12?" Well, I'll tell you why. Because you'll go from making $60 million in TV revenue to making 12.
Yeah.
And good luck. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and I just, so to answer his question, I don't feel like anybody, in fact, it should be illegal that Notre Dame's allowed. So I will bitch about it every time I see them.
Yeah, but it is funny how they like get special treatment, isn't it?
It's stupid, but they don't see it. It's like the only people complaining is the folks in the Southeastern Conference. Mm. And then they eventually get their ass waxed in the playoffs every year. You know, it's like Groundhog Day. We just keep waking up and beating them. So,
hey, shout out all day, Trey, Shane. Damn. Favorite version of the show. Love the cousins. Appreciate everything.
Thank you,
Cousin Mike and Cousin Shane do. Dodo.
Need some more of them backslashes, you know?
Old Adrian. He gifted a bunch of members. We'll get to that here in a minute. All right, Shane, let's go to the next great question. Man, great questions this week. SEC Sean, official cousin, we appreciate you, buddy. Do y'all think the conference championship games have lost their luster, and do you ever think we will see teams opt out and just be co-champions?
I don't see the opt out, but me and Mike had this conversation last year when we were at the SEC championship. We were just like, it didn't feel as grand as it has in the past. Obviously it was big moment for Texas and Texas Longhorn fans, you know, being the first year in and getting to experience that. But Georgia, it felt like a preseason game for college football playoffs. Now, I will tell you, they did caught fire late in the game, and that was exciting. But, I feel like now that we're going to a 9 SEC games, throwing in that extra one, because there's a real scenario. We were talking about this today or yesterday. Texas and Texas A&M, it's like A&M drops that game. Like, they get to bypass the SEC championship and most likely still have home field advantage. So, I feel like, yes, to answer your question, it has lost its luster.
Yeah, but the problem is, because I agree with everything you just said.
Money.
Yeah, they make an insane amount of money. I think it's like $60, $70 million the Southeastern Conference makes with that game.
Yeah.
And until they figure out a way to make up that revenue, they may keep playing it. But, you know, Greg Sankey, and I believe it was actually the head of the presidents, Mark Keenum, down there at Mississippi State, the president of Mississippi State, he said on Paul Feinbaum's show last week, the SEC is still pushing for a 16-team playoff.
Yeah.
No automatic qualifiers. So just the 16 best go to the college football playoff. That's what the SEC wants. That's what they're pushing for, and they're not budging at this point in time. And if that's the case, Shane, if there are no automatic qualifiers, there really is no value other than saying, "Hey, we're the champs." Like that's why they claim to have it now, right? To where you get you into the playoff if you're a conference champion. But the SEC has publicly said we don't want any automatic qualifiers. So maybe they are even envisioning a world to where there is no conference championship game, because if it's 16 best, highest ranked teams, however they do it, there's really no need for the conference championship.
And if we had a magic wand, Mike, it should be a play-in game, right? I mean, if we're being truly honest, and let's say we had the bids in, these SEC teams are going to go. The first two that have not been on that list, they got to duke it out in Atlanta for an opportunity to move forward with the college football playoff. I feel like that would not only still make money, but it would be absolutely electric and entertaining knowing that winner gets in, loser goes home.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Shane, I think that's what they're going to do, something like that.
Yeah.
But instead of one, I think they'll probably do that multiple, where it's like one versus eight, two versus seven, and the winners of all those games get to go to the playoff.
Do you like the basketball tournament? Just bring them all, you know?
I mean, that would more than make up the money that they'd lose from the SEC championship. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just more games for us. I'm not complaining. I'm not playing in them.
Hey, here's one thing, though. I didn't realize, Shane, this fell off my radar.
Yeah.
Because we're so inundated with this season, I don't like to look ahead to the next season. We know we're moving to a 9-game SEC schedule, right?
Right.
Massive, massive mistake here I don't think it's the SEC's fault necessarily, but we're going back to one bye week.
Oh,
I think that's horrible. I think if you're going to play more conference games, I don't care how you do it, you've got to ensure multiple bye weeks. I think that's a huge mistake.
And it's an easy fix, Mike. You just move the season up a little. Move the season up. You can implement the two bye weeks because you're right. And honestly, I really kind of hate how they were dispersed this season, if I'm being honest. You know, I'm looking at, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, they're getting one right before the last game. So I feel like they should have them a little more spaced out properly.
Kentucky got screwed too. It was the third week and the sixth week.
They're exhausted, Mike, you know, so 7 games in a row. But yeah, I feel like if you move it up, One week, make every week zero an official start of the season, then we could easily mix in these bye weeks.
I mean, we haven't seen the schedules yet. They haven't revealed them yet. But there's going to be teams, Shane, that are probably going to go like 6 or 7 or maybe even 8 weeks in a row playing conference games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nightmare.
No, absolutely. This is me, man. I ain't even walking 2 miles in a row, you know? It's like, hell no, I ain't doing that.
Hey, shout out Cousin Robert. Gave us $5. Do you see a problem with the committee members protecting their own? Maybe you've missed it, Robert. They take your hat off and leave it at the door. You seen that stupid video?
Yeah. It's a very... No. I saw Cole. I haven't seen him in here, but he tweeted something earlier. He says, bring the BCS back. And take the top 14 or whatever we're doing, 12, 16, yeah, however many teams, who just put them in. And I feel like, you know what? Maybe we should remove the human element from picking these anymore.
Right. And I also would, to Robert's point here, I think it's just the height of stupidity to have active ADs and presidents on the committee. There's so many qualified people. Why the hell would we get active people?
Would you do that in court? You know, like when I went to school with a guy they're trying to put in for murder. It's like, hey, I promise I'm going to be neutral here. You know,
hey, shout out. All right. Shane, eliminating the conference championship and making Army Navy not their own weekend saves 2 weeks off the postseason, which is way too long right now.
I do like the Army Navy game, though. I do like it. But I just think move it up. Simple fix. Move it. We're already doing it anyway, Mike. Why don't, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to give you Hawaii this year. You know, it's like, what? No, just give us all of them.
Hey, now I've heard this. Shout out Green Wave. Number of bye weeks are based on the calendar. I mean, I get that, but it's exactly what Shane said. What does the calendar have to do with moving it, starting the season a week earlier?
It doesn't.
I mean, there's like this weird rule. People are like, well, you can't start in the last week of August. Like, why? I get that it's hot out, but it's like,
what sport is that cutting into, you know?
I mean, I don't get that, but I have heard that. So,
yeah.
All right. Shout out. Oh, wait. We've gone pretty far into the show, Shane.
Yeah.
You know, we should go a little bit further.
How? How can we do that, Mike?
Go to Hollow Socks. Yeah. It's getting cold as hell out, Shane. But my feet are nice and cozy. You know why?
Why?
socks. I got these hollow socks on. I've already ripped open the other package because I still got my hollows on here. But we got ankle socks. We got boot socks. They're 50% off right now at Hollow Socks. Go check them out, hollowsocks.com. You get three pair, you get three for free. So there you go, Shane. 50% off or three for three over at Hollow Socks. Cannot beat it. It's a great Christmas idea. Shane says they don't have stocking stuffers, so I'm going to send his ass some hollow socks so they have some stockings over there. You know what?
Absolutely. And they make you a little faster. So that always helps, too, if you're in some sort of race.
All right. Shout out, Cousin Darwin. Great question here, Shane. Now, I'm a little confused by it, but I think I know what he's saying.
Okay.
It says re-rank the SEC quarterbacks, and then he says before and after. And he says, note, I have three quarterbacks ahead of Arch. Gunner, Ty Simpson, and Chambliss. So I think what he's just wanting a ranking of the SEC quarterbacks, and I think Arch at number four, I think that's a little rich right now.
Yeah, it's a little too rich. A little too rich. I mean, we're going to go, what would you say? Reed first, just the way they're playing, and Trinidad.
I think I'd still go Ty Simpson, number one for now.
Ty Simpson, Pavia, that'd be in the group.
Pavia's right there. Marcel.
I think our boy up there in Arkansas, I mean, he's still, if he's healthy, Taylen Green's got to be in the mix too. So
right? And can't write off Gunner. Gunner's playing out of his mind.
Yeah. Joey, maybe. John Mateer. I'd put Mateer over. No, I wouldn't.
I feel like Mateer and Aguilar are kind of in their own bracket.
Yeah.
And I'd probably put Arch in that bracket.
I'd put Cutter. I just told you. I think he's playing. I think he made a few mistakes this week. Maybe I'll bring him down a little bit. I don't know. This is why I don't do
one
quarterback
Florida
rankings.
Win and Shane's all over these guys.
In.
You know what?
I'm in. But
now here's an interesting one. Because he's probably way down the list. Where would you put old Nussmeier?
Down there at the bottom.
Yeah, because that's it. I think that's too harsh, Shane, because I mean, hell, even last week he started like 9 for 9, and I don't know. I don't think they could protect him. And they can't run the football.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe if you would have put, maybe if you gave him an offensive line, he'd be elite. He probably will.
I think all these guys would be with a good offensive line, you know.
But if you can't hit 6'7" Trey-Dez Green, I mean.
Now, how about Sellers? I mean, he's got to be pretty far down the list too.
He's down there. DJ's down there too, and
yeah, DJ's probably dead last.
Dead last. Yeah, I'd say, ain't that crazy?
Jackson Arnold, too. Or are we giving it to Ashton Daniels? Because Ashton Daniels looked like $1 million last week. He looked pretty bad against Kentucky. So I don't, we've only seen two of him. So it's kind of hard to say, you know what? But well, he's Zollers kind of an incomplete.
Zollers is down there. Old big guy Zollers.
Yeah, and then one guy we kind of overlooked, Chambliss.
I had him in the top five.
Yeah, he's got to be right there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's just probably the best athlete of them all.
Chambliss or Aguilar?
Oh, Chambliss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? He was at Ferris. Was it Ferris State?
I don't know.
Funeral I think that's home. Where he was. Yeah.
Funeral Ferris funeral home. Directing traffic. And they're like, hey, man, you want to play quarterback? That's just that's why everybody loves Lane Kiffin, because you just took somebody that nobody knew and you made him a Heisman candidate. So that's that. I mean, yes, we want to succeed. We'd love to win the playoffs. But if you can take talent like that out of nowhere and create that, man, that's why people are in love with him.
And I'm just glad, Shane, that it's not Austin Simmons for the sole fact. Remember, I had that hot yoga bet?
Yeah.
My ass ain't going to hot yoga today.
No. Pavia's. Wait, you didn't say. What'd you put Pavia? What'd you got him?
Pavia's top three, maybe even number two.
Oh, damn.
He's elite.
Yeah, he started talking about exercise. I thought about him again.
Hey, shout out Cousin Justin Bullock, Shane. Gave us a
Thank
donation.
You,
hey, just saying, when the college football playoff is an Indiana grad, it's a little fishy.
And then he's sitting at the two spot, barely beating Penn State that just fired their coach. But damn, Texas A&M can't jump that.
I mean, yeah, they beat. Don't you know who A&M's played? That's a
but
silliest.
They went to Notre Dame, you know, God's gift to football, and they beat them on their home field. So,
yeah,
but it was early. It was early in the season.
Hey, shout out Marty Funkhauser. Shane gave us a donation. Why am I hearing about Texas getting in at 9-3? If we care about the eye test for the borderline teams, they have almost lost to garbage multiple times. Well, here's the thing. There is no eye test.
Yeah.
There truly isn't. The thing is, you know, strength of schedule, bad losses, your overall record, things of that nature. There is no eye test. I know people like to say that, but there truly isn't. And the thing with Texas 9-3, I get it. Everybody says, well, hell, you can't make a playoff with three losses, which just because we've seen that one year, we shouldn't make evaluations on just one year. But they played number one. They played at number one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should that just eliminate you? If just like Lane Kiffin said. Of course, he said it about A&M Notre Dame. But if we're not going to value these games, why the hell would we ever play? Why would Texas and Ohio State ever play again? Why would Alabama and Florida State ever play again? If all that matters is, why not just schedule Alcorn? If Bama had scheduled Alcorn instead of Florida State, they'd be undefeated right now. Yeah. Are they a better team because they beat Alcorn? I don't think so.
Well, The problem is it is the eye test, right? It's not just the win. It's funny because they say they don't think of that it's not about just the wins and losses, but they don't do that with Indiana, but they do that against Texas. Because if you just look at the wins and loss, there's, like you said, they lost to number one on the road.
Right.
They lost to a Florida team, and the third one's going to either probably come to a Georgia or a Texas A&M. If that happens. So yeah, I get where they're coming from, but again, it's the eye test, you know, when you barely beat UTEP and you struggle against Kentucky on the road, you know, I feel like that's ultimately what's held them back. That's what's dropped them in the AP altogether. If they would have came out here and destroyed these teams, Texas would probably be seven right now, six or seven, and they could afford another loss to a Georgia or an A&M. But I don't think that's the case right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they got multiple wins over top 15 teams, and again, they'd have another one over a top five team if they beat one of Georgia A&M.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I get you, but I mean, let's. We even got to three losses yet. We're already talking. What if they just win out? Then all this is the only three loss team that's getting in apparently is Iowa. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. And then how about Thor Hug Shane? He's an official cousin. He's got a great question here. I know you're going to like it.
Yeah.
He says, I know you and especially cousin Shane are not big fans of James Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
If Arkansas hires him, how will it change your view of Arkansas? I ask this because I know you both really like Sam Pittman. For Cousin Mike, I'm pretty sure as long as it's not Jimbo Fisher or Hugh Freeze, he will give Franklin a chance. Will that change anything, Shane, if Arkansas hires James Franklin?
I think that would be a good splash hire for them. And what I say, when I say splash, I mean, there's
going to be. Will it change your opinion? That's what he's really asking. Like, are you going to be hard on Arkansas because James Franklin blocked you on Twitter?
No, because I like the fans. And I love the media personalities, too. You know, we've got a lot of Arkansas guys that come on. They're just fun. That's for me. You know what I'm saying? When I form my relationships with media, it's usually you could tell who's humble and who's Arkansas has sucked at football for so long. You feel bad for them because I've been there as a Tennessee fan. We went through many, many years of shitty football. So you don't want that in our conference. We want great football. We want every now and then. I mean, just that little oomph, that little extra, and you're kind of rooting for him, you know? So if they brought James Franklin, obviously I'd have to deduct a few points. but it may be perfect because in the landscape of college football, with all these new coaches coming in, there's going to be a handful that will have that power, and James Franklin would be one of those guys.
Right, and hey, this is America, right? We believe in second chances here.
Yeah.
And, you know, James Franklin, again, I'm not a huge fan of him personally, to be honest with you, but yeah, I think for Arkansas, that'd be a good get. And you're right. It ain't Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
And even Jimbo Fisher, it was not about the person. It was about me calling him a bad coach, which I think we can all admit now. A&M fans, they were so mad for so long that I said he was not a good coach. They'll tell you themselves that he was not a good coach now. But I think James Franklin would be probably a far more qualified coach than any Arkansas's had for a good while here.
They've gone through it, right? I mean, I always felt like, and again, I love Sam Pittman, and I hope we get to hang out one day, but I always felt like he was kind of that bridge coach anyway. Somebody just to hold us over for a little bit, get our ducks in a row, and then all of a sudden it's almost like an interim coach catching fire. It's like, we didn't expect it, but we're here. Then he gets that big check, and now we're like, okay, we may have made a mistake here. So, but that's where we're at, and I feel like Arkansas, especially with the last couple of coaches they had, they're due. They're definitely due.
And shout out PJ, gave us a donation here. Someone helped the Vandy Dandy get over the Texas law. That's awesome. All right. And then how about shout out cousin Kyle Lovinggood, one of the best Aggies out there, Shane. Aggies are 9-0. Every week, Shane, he likes to remind us, you know, how dominant they are, how great they are. You know,
I remember him disappearing last year too a couple of times.
Aggies are 9-0. What percent chance do you give them of finishing the regular season undefeated?
75%.
I'm going to go even higher. 84.
Wow.
You know why?
Why?
8-4. 84%. Come on, baby. I think they could do it.
Got to get one last one in, you know?
But, yeah, I mean, I think the only one that stands a chance is Texas, right?
Yeah.
Texas.
I'm still not just completely over it. Maybe that's why I gave them. Like, Texas A&M, I'd probably give A&M an 85% chance to win that game right now. I'm docking 10 for South Carolina because what if, you know?
And what happens? What's our opinion of Texas? I mean, it could go one of two ways, right? If they get their ass whooped on Saturday in Athens, we're like, ugh, we might move that up to 94%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what if Texas goes down there and wins in Athens? Then we might say, ooh, buddy, you may not go. You know what I mean? So
I don't know.
This Saturday will really potentially skew us.
This feels like it's going to every year be that game. Doesn't matter. It's kind of like the Iron Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what shows up. I feel like we're going to have a great game regardless. So. Shame we can't see that one, Mike, because that one's going to be electric this year.
I can't wait for the comments, especially if Texas keeps winning.
Yeah.
And A&M keeps winning, and they meet as, like, top 10 teams here.
Come on now.
I might have Billy on every day.
Yeah, Billy's making rounds. Why has he not been on the show?
Shut up, Mason Matlock. Y'all seen Coach Jason Eck has turned New Mexico around. He's got them bowling and selling out the stadium. Boomer, beat the hell out of Bama. This is an interesting guy, Shane. Yeah, he has totally revitalized New Mexico.
Yeah.
They whooped the hell out of the the one that was funny was they beat UCLA. It was like a horrible defeat for Nico and them. But, he's right. I mean, 6-3 this year. They were, I'm looking it up right now, they're 5-7 last year, but still, nice job here by old Coach Eck. I think he'll be rising the coaching ranks pretty quickly here.
Yeah, but not the SEC. Not this year.
Yeah. What the hell? We'll see how far down LSU gets their list.
Yeah. We'll be pitching him before you know it. Be like, hey, look what he did in New Mexico. We all do that, right? I'll never forget when Butch Jones got hired, and I was just like, this You know, I mean, at the time, we wanted, actually, Gundy, you remember? They had all them. I remember making memes and everything. I mean, and then Chip Kelly. What if we could get Chip Kelly, you know? And then all of a sudden, they're like, we're going to hire Butch Jones. I'm like, who the is Butch Jones, you know? But then we're like, but look what he did. It's we started turning it around, you know, justifying our purchase.
And then Kyle's got a food question, but I'm going to save it for the food section here.
Oh, we're not there yet.
And we got, no, we got a couple more here, Shane. Really good. Let's skip ahead then, because Shane's getting hungry. I love his question, and I love this name too, Shane. Almost. He's an Ole Miss fan. Almost.
Nice.
If you had the funding of Josh Pate, like his show, and wanted to travel to a different SEC game each week, how would you pick which game to go to?
Well, I'd want the best game, not neutral site, and maybe not one that we've seen, if that makes sense. Like, I wouldn't want to go to two or three Georgia games. I'd want to try to
hit as many of the college towns as you could.
Exactly. Like this week, you're probably looking at Georgia, Texas, but I would imagine we would have went to the Red River, so that wouldn't have happened. What game would we go to this week, you think?
This week, I would choose Athens.
See, this is why we don't do it, because we just argue the whole time. What was the let's bring this up here real quick. Give me Oklahoma and Alabama. 3:30 ABC. That's the one. Because I feel like there's a lot riding on that one. Not that Texas and Georgia is not, but you know, this feels like, I don't know, man. I guess now that I look at it, they're both kind of the same. I could go with either one. I
take Athens over Tuscaloosa any day.
I do like Athens. Maybe that's what we say. I like that bar scene there, you know. That's how we choose. We do a quick Yelp review of the restaurants in the area.
But hey, you know, I don't know. We have no idea. I've not spoken to anybody. I don't want to speak out of school.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. It's kind of died down, all this talk about Paul Feinbaum and what he does. But, you know, his show, he does it on Fridays on the college campuses. I'm sure they'll be, they'll just do a new version of that. But we could do our own version of that. Would be kind of cool. Friday we do a live show and have cousins come out. And I think we could do it better. You know what?
Absolutely. Don't get a permit. Just get somewhere and just go until we can't get kicked out or fired, you know, get arrested.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hell yeah. Maybe we do it at the best barbecue joint in town. You know? Yeah.
There's got to be alcohol involved. You know what?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Now we get to Cousin Trey. He's always got a football question.
Yeah.
And then we'll get to your food questions, because I know you're getting hungry over here. Cousin Trey Tucker, do you think the LSU attorneys will play the video of Brian Kelly dancing with recruits as cause for firing him?
I mean, that's probably part of the reason he got fired, but no, I don't know if you could get out of that one. Is there any loopholes here where you don't have to pay Brian Kelly, or is there?
Yeah, I've heard of a couple.
Yeah. Okay. Can't expand on that.
Well, the main one, and I don't want to say a name because I don't want to throw someone under the bus. If it's,
yeah,
it might be completely fabricated. Okay. So that's why I'm not saying names, but
yeah,
I don't want to get sued. But, the rumor that at least what I've been told is he may have had an affair with a relative of one of the other LSU coaches.
Damn.
Now, again, can you prove that? It's one thing to do it. It's another thing to prove it. You know what?
I thought something was up when he's working out all the time, you know? You can always tell. Buddy starts getting a haircut all of a sudden, you know? I mean, there's getting a tan. Yeah. The Coach O recipe. Yeah. I felt like something like that may have. No, I'm just kidding. I have no clue. But, Yeah, you better believe they're looking through anything and everything to pay at least less money.
And another thing that I had heard in the offseason was, they had a tragic situation with Greg Brooks, mm-hmm. who he had an injury. Anybody that just look him up. I mean, the guy went on ABC Good Morning or whatever mm-hmm. whatever their national. I mean, it's like nationally televised. It's very easy to find this case, but he got injured and the doctors diagnosed him. And yeah. I've heard they could sue potentially Brian Kelly at fault for that too. Is just a rumor I've heard. So. That's what I'm saying. There's multiple potential things they could get old Kelly on.
Mm-mm-mm. So the dancing is down the list is what you're saying. But it's on there. It's on there. All right. Speaking of water bottles.
Shout out Cousin Trey Tucker. Shane has got his food questions here.
Yes.
Sloppy Joe or meatloaf?
Ugh. Not really a fan of either one, but if I had to pick one, I would probably go meatloaf.
Why don't you like meatloaf? I eat meatloaf all the time.
Not a fan, because usually they're chunky. They got tomatoes or big onions in them or something.
Yeah, those are vegetables, Shane. You got to eat those every day.
Now, if they're ground up well and I don't taste those, it's more of the texture than it is the taste, then I'll go for it. And it's got, my mom made it with the ketchup on top, So that was pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. You got to put the ketchup on it.
I'd rather just have a hamburger.
With some mashed potatoes? I mean, that's like a classic combo right there.
Now, listen, I'm not kicking out of bed, right? I'm going to eat it, but it's not. I'm like the place I don't talk about anymore, not once mm-hmm. have I ordered it there. And apparently it's pretty good at that establishment.
Mm-hmm. Cotton says Mike likes a meatloaf.
I do. Now, I did like the singer, I dressed like him one Halloween, so that was pretty good. But I won't do that.
Hey, shout out Cousin Roy. Shane, hope y'all have been doing well. Sorry I've not been able to catch the show live. Been very busy working. We appreciate you, Royce.
Thank you, Rolls Royce.
He gave us 10 memberships, too, that we're going to get to here in just a second, Shane. What a legend you are, Rolls Royce. I think it's more about LSU going in the tank is probably why he's not been around more than anything. You know,
he is the machine, He's part of it.
What if he's the one suing Brian Kelly?
Dang, Rolls Royce. Come on now. Tell us what you're really doing.
Little Smokies or pigs in a blanket?
Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, I'd go on pigs in a blanket, but... I love Little Smokies, pigs in the blanket. Clarifying, the pigs in the blanket that I like, the Trailer Park Shane here, is those croissant rolls, and then you get one of them little Hillshire sausages.
Yeah.
And I like a little piece of cheese. Now, my girls don't, but if you could put cheese in there, it's perfect. And then you roll that thing up because then the cheese bubbles off the side and gets all crispy on that parchment paper. Hello.
Fire Marshal Bill has got a side question here. Broccoli or Brussels sprouts? Which would Shane eat if it was covered in chocolate?
Nah.
At least you get the chocolate.
If I had to pick one, then probably broccoli. But I will say this. I've had like broccoli casserole. Again, texture. So it's like... just the head of the broccoli, not the tree trunk there.
Yeah.
And then it was like cut up real fine, and then she did it that way. That was pretty good. Pretty good. Only had it once, but.
People don't eat the trunk, Shane. I mean.
Do they not? I've seen people do that. Don't they?
No.
That shows how much broccoli I've been eating there, Mike.
That's like being like. You know what my least favorite part of the banana is the peel. You know, it's like, you don't eat the peel. Come on, what are you talking about?
I thought people ate that.
No.
No
wonder
sense.
You don't like it. All right, loaded baked potato or twice baked potato?
May surprise you, but give me loaded baked potato.
That doesn't surprise me.
Extra sour cream, no chives. Now, this may surprise you. I usually don't get it with butter. Just sour cream and cheese, and bacon.
Mm. Prime rib or beef tenderloin?
Give me tenderloin. I and that's not by much, but I do like prime rib, but places I get them, usually they don't do them. Like every now and then you get the perfect prime rib, which is great. But, you know, it's tough to mess up a tenderloin.
Yeah. Which let me know which one you're thinking. I know you will. You've got one like you're envisioning in your head right now?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Outback.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because honestly, I went with this guy once, right? It's me and my wife. We took this guy out.
Was it a date?
Okay, no, sorry. It's just a buddy we used to work with. Older fella, you know, veteran. Thank you for your service. Orders a prime rib, right? Comes to the table. He freaks out. He says, this thing's pink. And I'm like, it's a prime rib. I didn't want to say it, you know. Before I could say anything, he's telling this waiter to take it back and cook it. It's raw. And so every time I hear prime rib, I think of that story and how embarrassed I was that I brought somebody that's never had one before. So but yeah, give me the tenderloin, I guess, if I had to go. What about you? Are you a tenderloin guy or are you a prime rib?
Probably tenderloin.
Yeah. I knew it.
I'm not a fancy steak man, you know?
No. Yeah.
I do like a New York strip. I make those all the time. Is that fancy? That's not fancy, is it?
No. A tenderloin's fancier than that. So, yeah. I mean, it's expensive. I like a sirloin. I mean, if you get a Texas Roadhouse sirloin, phenomenal. Phenomenal. You get plenty of meat out of the situation. Yeah, it's not as tender as a filet, but golly, I think it's just as good.
Okay, cousin Brodo. Shout out, Brodo. Took him about 5 years to become an official member, but he's one now, Shady's. Go ask questions. Saturday morning, should I have Bevo and eggs with a screwdriver or Bevo egg and cheese biscuit with an ice cold Coors? Sick 'em dogs.
Give me the screwdriver. I feel like in the morning, you know, just get the day started. Cold beer is where it's going to end up. I mean, that's where it always ends up. But screwdriver, you know, a little fruity drink in the morning to get things, you know, what they call them, mimosas, you know, do a couple of those bad boys, mojitos. I like the little kind of the fruit drinks to get rolling. And then by noon, we switched over to cold beer.
Shane, did I ever tell you the most hungover I've ever been in my life?
Uh-uh.
So I went to this place. It was when I was living in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They had endless mimosas.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my buddy went there to watch a NFL game. So we sat there for like 4 hours just hammering mimosas. Yeah. I think they say that what gets you is the sugar.
Yeah.
You know, if you have that many. And yeah, I mean, I swore that day I'd never drink again. And I was drinking about a week later, but that was the most. I mean, there's more to the story.
I've been there. The worst I ever was triple berry mojitos, and we were wearing these bastards out. Right, TGI Fridays. I wasn't driving, and I was just pounding these little bastards. And then, dude, it's one of those. You're sitting there at the house, and you're just the room is just spinning like crazy, and you're just praying that it stops. You know. I'll never forget waking up the next morning. It's the worst headache I ever had in my entire life. So I'm right there with you. That's the only downside of those type drinks. I'm too old for that.
Yeah. Oh, no. This was in my prime. You know, I could never have done that today. You know what?
Absolutely.
All right. And then we got cousin Kyle Lovingood. He's got a food question. I saved this for the food section, Shane.
All right.
Spicy food question. I have not heard much discussion on this. I love spicy food. Do Mike and Shane even touch spicy food aside from Nashville hot chicken?
You know, I wasn't a huge... I mean, I liked Nashville hot chicken, right? But I didn't love it. It's not something I'm driving to Nashville to eat again. I do like... I like warm, not just burn your mouth. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to... There's sometimes you can eat something that's too hot and then you don't taste anything like the next 30 minutes. So for me, I'm not in that, but I do like a nice little spice to the side, you know? So like, for instance, my wife makes chili, right? Mm-hmm. She likes it mild. I like it hot. So once it's done, I'll get my bowl, and then I'll put, you know, a fourth a cup of hot sauce in it, mix it up, and get the party started, you know? So I do like a little bit of kick, but I think it pairs well with, like, a sour cream. I want something to, like, for instance, my favorite restaurant is El Torito in Morristown. If you've never been there, not a sponsor, be sure to check them out. Their salsa verde is on the edge of almost too hot, right? But you pair it with a nice sour cream and those chips. Oh my God. I pay for it the next day, but man, it's delicious.
I could never stop laughing with it. That's your favorite restaurant.
It's great. It's great. It is. Them boys, they know what to do. They know me too, you know. We're shaking. They're asking how the kids are doing, and now that I don't go to the cracker anymore, you know, I'm spending a little more time at the ale,
taking their meals. Oh Lord! Hey, real quick, Shane.
Yeah,
we just had the injury report come out.
Uh-oh.
Shoot. I'm not able to share it. I was trying to screen share it here. But some news here for Oklahoma. Good news, probable. Offensive lineman Derek Simmons. I don't know that he's played in a little while. Could be mistaken on that. Keontae Lewis, receiver, probable. So he's good to go, most likely. We got a couple of questionables. Running backs, Javonta Barnes, Taylor Tatum, R. Mason Thomas. That's a huge one. Questionable for Oklahoma, as is Jaden Jackson. Interior defensive lineman, he's pretty awesome. Alabama, questionable. Quay Rousseau, their outstanding linebacker. Caden Jones, another linebacker. And probable defensive back, Deshaun Jones. So there's an update. Oklahoma, Alabama. I'm looking for Texas, Shane. It's the first time I've seen this season.
Yeah.
None to report. Ooh. So we're 100% healthy in Austin, heading into Georgia. Georgia's got tight end Lawson Lucky, probable. Defensive tackle Josh Horton, probable. So good news there for them Dawgs. They got a couple guys out, but I think they've been out all season long. Ooh, Mississippi State, Blake Shapen, quarterback, probable. So he should be good. Left tackle Albert Reese, probable as well. So that's good news for Mississippi State. Ooh, Missouri, hey, how about this? Bo Prabula, doubtful. So probably not going to play, but Bo Prabula could be coming back already. That's pretty good news for Missouri. As is tight end Brett Nordfleet, questionable for Missouri. But that's pretty surprising to see Bo Prabula on the injury report and as maybe coming back soon.
Getting strong now.
And then LSU linebacker against Arkansas, Whit Weeks. Questionable. So he may be out. Aaron Anderson, probable. So that's good news for LSU. I'm trying to see if there's any. Well, they may not even need him, Shane. A&M.
Yeah.
Receiver Mario Craver. Questionable against Carolina. So he may not play. They may be so confident they can beat him without him, they're just not going to even try it. You know what?
See, that's it. This is what we told you to worry about. They're sitting, guys. speaking of A&M, thank you, Rick. Come on, cuz. My wife makes an amazing tenderloin for Sunday's family dinner. It's perfect. But when she's out of town, it's Outback. Kids love it. No dishes. Beat the hell out of South Carolina.
It's
thank
Texas
you,
A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Giggum Aggies.
Don't sleep on Outback. They used to have one up here in Straw Plains. You remember that? Right before Knoxville, and then they got rid of it. I blew my mind, you know, because that was fancy dining. Their coconut shrimp, phenomenal. Alice Springs chicken. Oh, I could go all day with them. And, of course, the steaks. They're just... They're perfect. The blooming onion. I mean, come on now.
They got rid of that, huh?
Yeah, they got rid of it. I thought I was keeping them in business, but I guess there wasn't enough fatties over there, you know?
Hey, Shane, we got literally like 20 new members. So I want to shout out all these cousins. James Kelly, he joined the family. And our man, the legend, JR.
The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again.
Thank you, JR.
Thank you, cuz.
This may be a relative of his. JG got gifted by JR. So shout out, JR. We had Matt McKinney, welcome to the family. Steven up, the legend.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide.
It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven up. He gifted Michael Deitch. Michael, welcome. All day Trey back. He's got a bunch of these shades. All day Trey. Mike and Neum. Mike and Neum. I hope I'm saying that right. We got Staying All Business. Welcome Eli Drinkowitz. He became a member of the channel. All day Trey. Another one, Shane. He gifted Aaron.
Aaron.
We had Tolkien gifted a membership, Shane.
Thank you, cuz.
To Chris Berry. Thank you, Tolkien. Junior gifted to Outdoorsman 6158. Appreciate you, Junior. All day Trey gifted another one, Shane.
Damn.
All right. Cool name. All day Trey got another one, Shane, to Hookham from Virginia. Appreciate you.
Thank
all
you.
All day Trey. Let's see. Then we had the legend over here, Cousin Rolls Royce, gifted 10
Damn.
Memberships.
Come
Shane,
on, cuz.
Michael Jensen, Clark, Kyle Taylor, Nick Lee, Roman Black, Jimbo Bannister, Ma 88, The Remnant Rising, Christian Holt, and Miss Busted Can of Biscuits. Then Ashley Schaefer, not to be outdone, he gifted a membership to Aaron Harmon. We appreciate you, Ashley Schaefer. And then Chrome Bison, cool name. He gifted 5, Shane.
Ooh, baby.
Crimson Tide, Jason Haynes, Kevin Burns, Rick James, and 2-Star Taylor. Welcome to the family. Oh, and we had Brian Shepherd became a member. Shout out, Brian. And, oh, goodness, Shane, All Day Trey gifted 5 more. Shout out, All Day Trey. Let's see who he gifted here. Shin Chan, appreciate you.
Shin Chan.
I didn't want to do that. Brandon Jenkins, Randall, and Colby's YouTube. Biggie Smalls. The Biggie Smalls. And Stephen Butler. Welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of All Day Trey.
Thank you, All Day Trey. Thank you all. Appreciate you, cousins.
Yeah. Any other food questions I may have missed, Shane?
I mean, we can keep going. I do appreciate all the cousins hanging out, and you know, you don't have to donate, but if you do, that is appreciated. But that thumbs up really does help us out, so be sure to minimize and hit that on your way out.
Crow Bison says the coconut shrimp is a big guilty pleasure.
I'm going to tell you, I'm a huge fan. Red Lobster does good coconut. Outback does. You know who used to do really good coconut shrimp was Forrest Gump. What's that?
Bubba Gump's?
Bubba Gump's,
yeah. When did you ever go to Bubba Gump's? Where'd they have that?
Up in Gatlinburg.
Oh,
they got one. Yeah, they got one. So we went up
there.
You
world traveler.
I know. I was getting out. I was being fancy. So we went there, and, man, it has lost that whole place. I'm not a fan unless they're a sponsor, but they're not. Right now, do not waste your money at old Bubba. Maybe it's just the Gatlinburg location, but that coconut shrimp took a big hit. So.
Let me ask you, coconut shrimp or Bloomin' Onion? You can only get one.
Give me Bloomin' Onion.
Okay.
Yeah, extra crispy. I go for it right now. Come on, baby.
How soon can we get it to you?
The closest one we got is like Texas Roadhouse Bloomin', not, they call it something else, Cactus Blossom, which is basically the same thing. But, yeah, give me that onion. And I don't like onions, you know, but if you deep fried the shit out of it.
Shout out, Cousin Tony. Thanksgiving dinner, deep fried or oven turkey?
I'm old school. I always like deep fried, right? But the oven is the OG for me. But I do think that or a smoked bird or something like that can also be on the table. You don't just have to have one bird, but it doesn't need to be the primary source of protein, in my opinion.
Ashley Schaefer's got a question, and they actually have this restaurant right down the street from me as well. How long do you last at Paula Deen's in Pigeon Forge? When do they kick you out?
Well, I tell you, if a restaurant has an escalator in it, you know you're about to be full. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't gonna lie. After I've snabbed two or three of them ooey gooey cakes there at the tail end, I'm ready to go. So, but we do wear it out.
Is it a buffet? I've never been.
It's like home style, so they'll just keep bringing the stuff out. Like you pick a couple, three proteins or two proteins, and then the sides and stuff like that. And so they're bringing out all the fixings. But yeah. But I'll say this, brother. And I look. Don't get me wrong. It's not worth it. It is not worth financially.
I've heard. That's why I've never been.
Yeah, I'm one. I told you. You know me, Mike. There's a cost thing, and if the cost is too high, then I can't justify. It's a delicious. Like if I stopped off the exit, and I got this restaurant, I'd be, oh my gosh, this is awesome, and I'd tell Mike and everybody about it, like an El Torito experience, you know?
Right.
But when it hits that certain dollar amount, it's like, was it really that good? No.
That should be your motto in life. If it costs. It's too high. It's hard to justify. All right. Anything else, buddy, before we wrap this one up?
Nope. That's it. Just look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. We got picks coming in. Got a lot of wonderful games coming in, and I've got to make up some ground, man. I hope this cousin – who's picking this week?
I have it already, but I don't really have it in front of me.
Okay. All right. I hope they butchered it. So, JP, I appreciate you, cuz. Man, he was busy today, and I thank all the cousins for the donations. But, JP, thank you for putting the list together. I know this is it gets tough sometimes. Shout-outs go to Cousin JR, Stephen Up, All Day Trey, James Kelly, Tolkien Jr., James Kelly, Freedom Van, Robert Jenkins, all right, Justin Bullock, Marty Funkhauser, PJ Mason, Matlock, Rolls Royce, Ashley Schaefer, Chrome's Bison, and Cousin Rick. And a big shout out to those who told me which team they support make my job much easier. Yes, absolutely. If you could at least throw your team in there so JP knows, because he likes to keep the list up for us at the end of the month. But JP, I appreciate you doing all that work for us, and I appreciate all the cousins hanging out. So be sure to have those notifications on, because if somebody gets hired or somebody gets fired, we're going to be sure to let you know as ASAP.
And Jimmy says, we missed Brian. Brian,
welcome to family.
We saved the best for last.
That's going to do it on this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
Let's go eat some blooming onions, man.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.